Things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant and Radio Alabama Sports. Now, here are Coach Chris Heron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you live from Monte Alban No. 2 on Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor here, and as normal, as you just heard, I've got Coach Jerry Weems, Coach Chris Heron. We'll be having a couple of other guests with us in just a little bit. We'll be having our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, and that'll be Tyler Boyd. We'll be having him in the second segment here this afternoon. And then in the next segment, we will be having, and we'll also, Coach is throwing me off. Now, we don't want it over here. We don't want it where we can hear it. They're trying to get some sound in here. I'm sorry. But anyway, everybody's confused.
I'm sorry I distracted you.
Yeah. Well, we don't want it on our table playing, that's for sure. That'll be like an echo from way back. But anyway, we're here for Football Fiesta. After a big win last week, Volunteers get a big victory over the Benjamin Russell Wildcats in a long weather delay game. In that first segment, that's what we're going to be speaking about. Coaches, you go back to that. I talked to Coach Horner about it, but I wanted to get you two guys, men's take. I know you've been there before. But what? How big of a challenge do you feel like that is? And I did talk to Coach Horn about it, but stopping and starting, and the way that game was separated, it was almost like there was two halftimes. It wasn't like it was a big break in the middle. That's got to be a challenge. Coach Horn felt like it was a challenge. How do you remember that back when you were coaching?
Well, there's two things you got to consider here. Number one is the physical part of it. You've got to when you go back, it's like you're starting over. You know, you go through the warm-ups again, and you always worry about somebody maybe pulling a hamstring or something of this nature. And then the second thing you got to consider is the mental aspect. You know, we're dealing with 14 to 18-year-old young men. You know, is their thinking going to get sidetracked during that delay? Because you're sitting there, and, you know, the longer the delay is, the more apt something like that is to happen. You know, the kids, their minds start getting away from football, and you know, a lot of times coaches will go in there, and the first part of a delay might be used on getting on the chalkboard and maybe going over corrections or something of that nature. Now you've got video you could watch in your locker room, iPads and that type thing. But, you know, back in our day, we didn't have those. Those things weren't available to us. So you spend the first part of the break going over things that you need to cover, and then from that point on, that's where the mental distraction is a possibility of coming in. And, you know, you've got to, as a coach, you've got to kind of guard against that, because you've got to have that mental edge before you go back out there and start prepping physically to resume the game. And then, you know, you mentioned it was almost like two halftimes. You know, if you were going to have a weather delay, the ideal time to have it would be maybe halfway or three quarters through the second quarter. That way you would have a normal halftime. You would probably go back and finish the second quarter and go right into the third quarter. And that would help that situation a little bit if it were to happen. But, of course, nobody has control over when lightning and rain occurs. So that would be out of the question.
Coach Heron, we know you were able to be with your duties on Friday night. You actually were in there a little bit with the team. Coach Horn shared with me how that is. But what's your feelings? I think Coach Weems explained kind of how it went down.
Sure.
But yep. don't you see that as a challenge as well to the players as far as cramping and stuff? Because you're not accustomed. Like at practice, you don't go out there and practice for an hour and a half and then stop for an hour.
Right.
Start back, stop again for 45 minutes.
Right.
The starting and stopping, it seems to be the problem. And the humidity was very high, and we did see a little bit of that.
We did, and, you know, and I was able to be in there with them some, and like Coach Williams addressed, I mean, that was about a 50-minute delay, you know. But so the first, you know, I don't know how many minutes they go in. It's kind of like a halftime. They're in their film room there. They're on the board, you know. They're doing some board work and looking at the things the way Benjamin Russell had aligned and how they had been attacking offensively and their defensive alignments and address some of those things. And, you know, the guys were hydrating with water and that type of thing. And then it got to a point there was really nothing else. I mean, they'd only played, 8 minutes of the first quarter? So, you know, they had addressed that.
I think it was just a little over four minutes left, the way I remember, in the first quarter.
They got all that addressed, and then you're there, you know, you're going to be there another 20 to 30 minutes, they said in there. And they did a good job. You know, the guys take off their shoulder pads and kind of just sit around and kept hydrating, and they did a good job. The coaches, you know, they kind of just kind of the same way. I mean, some of them, you know, they were able to just sit down and look at what had happened and see what they needed to do. And Coach Williams talks about back in our day, you know, we did at one time had a computer, and I remember one time we did have a weather delay, and we wanted to go to the computer to look at the radar, you know. So the two head coaches and the officials, and it was before everybody had a phone, and we'd go and look, and we had already been through our adjustments that we thought we could make, and we walk in, and there we had an assistant coach that was watching the Braves. You know,
I know who that was.
Yeah, he still checks
it throughout the game.
We had to take the computer away from him to check the radar. So,
so you have different challenges, so not just with the players, but with the coaching staff.
There are challenges with the coaching staff as well as the players. Absolutely.
Well, let's look back at the big win for the Volunteers last week. The final score was 35-28, a back and forth affair. Volunteers never trailed. Got the lead early, went up by two scores, actually, and then it started the back and forth from there. Thank goodness Benjamin Russell never cut it down to more than seven. And actually, it was eight most of the time until they were able to get that two-point conversion. But I thought a hard-fought win against a team that we had expected to be just as good as we thought. I will say I think the wide receiver there was probably even better than I gave him credit for. And I know he's been getting a lot of offers, but he showed up. But, Coach Williams, what was your take on the game as a whole for the Volunteers?
Well, you know, one thing, early in the game, Benjamin Russell missed an extra point. And we kept saying that might come back and be a factor later in the game. And it possibly could have. You know, we were able to kick all five of our extra points, went 5 for 5. And so we kept that advantage. You know, they were going to be forced to have to go for two to tie the game at some point. And, you know, it would have been hard for them to score and convert a two-point conversion. So I thought that us kicking every one of our extra points was a big factor. And it did end up, you know, a one-score game, and they did convert a two-point play. So, That point, I thought, was with us maintaining that two-score lead plus that one extra point, I thought that was a big advantage that we had throughout the game.
But on their side of that, they didn't chase that point.
Exactly. They started to.
They thought about it, but they didn't chase that point until their last score that got it to got them to
We was offsides, they got us offsides and got a half a distance.
I thought their coaches did good not chasing that point earlier.
You're exactly right.
Which would have put them farther in a hole.
You don't go for two until you absolutely have to.
Right, exactly.
Well, and Coach and I described that opportunity. I thought because Coach felt like he would have still went for the extra point. I felt like when you got the opportunity from one and a half, that's your chance to take.
Right.
And they did, and they got in the Wildcat, and they run the big number one in for the touchdown. But I do feel like that point even was heavy on them. It added pressure.
Sure it does. Yeah, it's
it
heavy.
Added pressure throughout the game. Because if it would have been 14, it just seems a little easier.
Yeah.
But you know you're going to have to do a little extra to get that extra point back. And thank goodness the Volunteers were able to continue on offense and have a big night offensively.
Other than that extra point, Dale, you know, the other factor was both teams had a lot of big plays, you know, explosive plays for long yardage. And, of course, and it all occurred for the most part with a passing game for both teams. So, you know, there was no consistent offense because neither team ever really established their run, although each team ended up with over 100 yards rushing. But nobody really established and controlled the ball on the ground. It was the passing games for both teams that was the big thing offensively.
And I thought you actually saw maybe a few more adjustments of what you could see, you know, during the game after the weather delay than you did after the regular halftime. You know, we you know, it was noticed by our coaching staff that after the weather delay, Ben Russell changed from their four-man front to their odd front with their three-man front from that point on after the weather delay. Offensively, their splits tightened down. It kind of affected some of our run stunts and run blitzes we were able to do. There wasn't natural gaps. And so some of those small, minute adjustments that you maybe were saving or looking at maybe that would normally come after a halftime actually came after that weather delay, and you didn't see as much of those little changes and those little adjustments at halftime as you normally would.
Well, and as you said, I kind of feel like if there's an advantage to that, and some people, my opinion is it goes to the team that's trailing. They're needing to make more adjustments. I mean, we hadn't been scored against. So defensively, it's a little bit tough to make as big of adjustments, but they were out there, so it gave them a chance to make adjustments.
Right.
And really the first half, you know, was – it didn't really, the scoring really started in the second half.
It was almost like two different games almost the way things worked out.
If you go back and look at the overall stats, Volunteers had 15 first downs to Benjamin Russell's 9, 39 rushes to their 32. We had 126 yards rushing to their 117, so all the stats are very even at this point. We attempted 7 passes, completed 11. They attempted 24 for 9. We had 338 total yards to their 269, so we got them on the yardage there. Total number of offensive plays tied at 56. Both of us had 56 offensive plays. We had 4 fumbles, lost 1. They had 2 and lost none. Now that kind of kept them and got them going there a little bit. We had 11 penalties for 91 yards. They had 12 penalties for 90. So that scoring summary right there is very similar. If you look at the rushing yardage for us real quick, let's go to – there's rushing yardage. LaDamian had 17 rushes for 64 yards. We see Soap had 10 rushes for minus 7, actually. And then that's – Damari had 4 for 35, and then Kevin Cherry had 8 for 34. Catching passes, and this is one of the reasons – we have the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week right here. Tyler Boyd caught 7 passes for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's an outstanding receiving night for Tyler. Also, you see LaDamian with a catch. That's Glenn with a catch, and also Whetstone. Whetstone, that was a big catch, 1 for 33 there. So that's kind of your stats there. But what else, Coach? Coach Heron, I want to give you your opportunity there. I know you like to talk about those big uglies, we like to call them, at offensive line up front, but they did have a solid night against a very good front.
They did a very good night, again, you know, a very good game for those guys across the front there. You had, again, 4 of our 5 guys blocking, you know, above 70%, that kind of that benchmark that we want to shoot for every week. We actually had Rice, you know, Cole Rice, again, in the 80s at 85% of the time, you know, finishing his block and grading out positive there. You had Noah Peterson at 78. He's up there bumping 80%. J.D. Owens at 74 and Dewey Brown at 73. So 3 of our 4 starting linemen, again, in the above that 70 benchmark where we want them. Chance Helms at center, he's at 68, so he's just a little bit off. So, you know, overall, you know, a good job in the run game, obviously a good job because in the passing game, you know, giving our quarterback time to have the night he had there, and some improvements that we wanted to see across the front there that we actually saw, you know, still plenty of room for improvement, some things we need to do better, but we saw the improvement we were looking for, and those guys continued to do a good job on the front and to give our offense a chance to be successful to score, you know, 35 points in the game Friday night.
Well, if you look at those guys, you talk about Chance just under the 70-point mark there that you're really looking to get. But one thing you got to say about Chance, and we've been there before, is the snaps. The snaps are really consistent, good,
yeah,
and that is
a big part of being
the center.
Absolutely.
And when timing issue, we've been there when it wasn't necessarily the snaps getting away, but it threw the timing off.
Yes.
Especially when you're doing a lot of RPO stuff, mm-hmm. where you got you're reading a back, or you're reading a linebacker, you're trying to ride a handoff. If that timing's off on that snap, it really throws things off. So Chance been doing a really good job
Absolutely.
In that category,
yeah.
for sure. So offensive line, I think they continue to improve, and we did see improvement.
And hopefully we'll see a little more each week as we go along, and that's what you hope for those guys across the front.
And one negative that we don't want to dwell on negatives, but we had 90 yards in penalties, and of course our opponent did too. But one day we're going to have that many yards, and our opponent is not, and it's going to be it's going to affect field position some. So we've got to clean up a lot of our penalties, and a lot of them last week were five-yard type penalties,
and the kind that aggravates you the most.
Yeah.
Before pre-snap and post-snap, unforced
things. And what they do is it changes your play calling.
Absolutely.
The way that you call plays when if you got a second and four and you have a five-yard penalty, now you're looking at second and long. Mm-hmm. So we've got to clean up the penalties.
What we're going to do here, we're going to kind of break away from our first segment. Second segment, we always have our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week. We'll be having him, Tyler Boyle. We'll also be having a coach coming in. Coach Franklin Few will be in. The wide receivers coach will be joining us. So the second segment will be that. If you want to, you definitely want to stick around, though. Third segment, we'll be talking about Valley, our opponent tomorrow night. And then in our last segment, our fourth segment, in the last quarter of the hour there, we'll be going over our opponents, how they've done, and we'll also be looking at the 5A top 10 and who knows what else we might. So you'll want to stick around right here on Football Fiesta live from Monte Albán, number two.
Hill Auto Sales in Lineville is built on selection and service. They offer quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs for the people throughout this area. We all have different tastes, so Hill Auto Sales searches out the make and model that appeals to the most folks right here at home. Their website is buyfromhill.com. Their phone number is 256-396-1100. Open 8 till 5, Monday through Friday. Hills Auto Sales is a sponsor of Volunteer Athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network.
Honey's Cafe at 60 Park South in Lineville is proud to sponsor local radio with the Radio Alabama Foundation. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 till 2. Honey's specializes in real country cooking, featuring a choice of three meats, fresh veggies, and cornbread or roll topped off with dessert. Honey's Cafe combines years of cooking experience in every meal. A meeting room is available for large groups. Phone 256-396-9101. Honey's Cafe in Lineville.
From sleek modern kitchens to timeless classic styles, Integrity Cabinets has the perfect solution for every home. Their custom cabinets are designed to fit unique needs and taste, ensuring every detail is perfect. Integrity Cabinets, where quality meets integrity, building something amazing together. The phone number is 256-354-1431, and their website is integritycabinets.com. Integrity Cabinets, sponsoring the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Cook Foods in Ashland is proud to be a part of this community. Their involvement each year reaches far beyond the walls of their facility. Cook Foods is involved in many projects and supports multiple organizations in our area. Things like the Clay County Yellow Meated Watermelon Festival, Heritage Day in Lineville, the Clay County Chamber of Commerce, and the Clay County Economic Development Council. Cook Foods in Ashland is also proud to sponsor the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Go Vols!
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta live from Monte Albán number two on Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor. I'm joined by Coach Jerry Williams right now. Coach Chris Herring stepped away, but we've got a couple of additions here to our table. Down at the far end, we got Coach Franklin Few, our wide receivers coach. Good to have you, Coach.
Glad to be here.
And at this end of the table, on my end of the table to my left right here, we have the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, brought to you by Britches and Bows, Tyler Boyd. Congratulations, Tyler.
Thanks.
It's good to have you. Just settle down. Everything's going to be good. As soon as we made the decision, I thought Tyler's going to do a great job. So no pressure. I know you will. We're not going to give you anything difficult. Look, don't look at that table over there in the middle, though. Whatever you do, don't look at that table. But now we'll look back real quick last week, Tyler. Just a couple things I want to talk of. And the obvious thing is obviously your receiving yards. I mean, everybody's going to talk about the receiving yards that you had last week and how that looked and what you did. Anytime we have a receiver go over 100 yards, that's an impressive performance. But the thing that we've been talking about, and this didn't start this year, is your punting return stats. And if we look back at those, you had three returns for 27 yards, but there's a whole lot of hidden yards in that where you're very comfortable about catching the football, fair catching the football, really giving us a lot different field position than just what meets the eye. And what has made you so comfortable back there, before we get into the receiving, as a punt returner and catching those punts? Because I know one, they kind of, the Benjamin Russell kind of, the cover team kind of got, wasn't focused and wasn't paying attention, and you realize that, and you run up and just kind of scooted the ball up and gained maybe 8 or 10 yards, which is 8 or 10 yards of field position. What makes you so comfortable back there?
Well, I've been doing it since ninth grade, and then my 10th grade year is when I started, and then at practice we just, I don't know, it's just something whipping. I've been going through a lot and just staying focused on the ball. And then on that play where I seen it, but there was nobody around me, so I just took the opportunity to grab the ball and try to get as many yards as I could.
Well, you seem to do a very smart job of when to catch the punts and the ones that you need to let go, letting them go. And you can coach that a lot, but it's also being able to understand the game, and I think you do just an excellent job of that. That's something that a lot of high school teams just do not have.
And one key thing, Tyler, back there with, you know, receiving the punts, you come up and a lot of times and make a fair catch on some difficult punts. And what that's doing by making that catch is keeping the ball from hitting the ground and bouncing on back down the field. So those are hidden yards that Rusty was talking about, and it really affects field position, which is, as you know, is critical in a football game. So it's not just the returns, but it's yards you're saving with some difficult catches sometimes.
Yes, sir.
And not only is he playing, he's deep on kickoff returns. He's a punt returner. He's also playing in the secondary a whole bunch. So he's playing, he's on the field about 90% of the game. So that even makes it more impressive. But we look back at Tyler's receiving stats. He had 7 receptions for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. There's not many, I don't know the exact stats, but there's not many people in the 13 years of Central High School of Clay County can say they had 160 yards receiving in a game. So that's a big stat. We like to run the football. And that's we hope you hit the 200-yard mark someday.
Well, you know, the team had 212, and he had 160 of them. So that's a big night receiving.
Well, Coach Few, I know it's been, you know, you kind of shuffled around. You've done a lot of different things here at Central High School of Clay County, you know, mainly with receivers and secondary people. But I know the type of person that Tyler is and the type of player is, you've got to be so pleased to be able to coach this young man.
I am. I've had the pleasure since we got to Central, since the school that combined to work with some good players. And he'll definitely be among one of those that I remember. He always implements what you tell him at practice, and he carries it over to the game. It's not just punt return, but it could be blocking angles and route running, things of that nature. But he always takes coaching well, and that's one thing that makes him so successful on Fridays.
Well, you play offense and defense. We usually ask this for anybody that does this, Tyler. Which one do you really prefer to play the most? There's no look. You don't have to look down there. You don't have to look. You don't have to look down there at your position, Coach.
I'll say offense.
Okay. Hey, he said the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you did end up with like 3 tackles, and I know the week before you had maybe a fumble recovery. There's been things that you do defensively, and hey, they had you running around a lot. They had you guys running around a lot with that receiving core that the Wildcats had. So they kept putting the pressure on you. Coach Williams, I know you got some more that you want
to ask. Well, I got a question for Tyler. You know, I know you caught six passes.
But
on one of them, you made a good catch and made a first down. And then something bad happened at the end of that play. Now, did the coaches say anything to you about losing that football?
Yes, sir. Instead of trying to make a move and get extra yardage, they told me I should have just went out of bounds. And they were right. I was trying to do more than I should instead of just getting out of bounds and getting yards that I
Well, you
had.
Still made a good play, though.
Yes, sir.
Well, something you're going to learn about Coach Weems, the coach always comes out in him, and if there's a negative, he's going to give you your positive, but he's going to remind you. The coach always comes out in him.
We don't want it to happen again, Mr. King.
I agree.
And I don't think it will.
Well,
I plan on it happening again.
Well, we know with the hands you've got and the things, Coach Few. We know right here, great receiver. There was other guys caught passes and done a great job. You got some guys that sometimes they're running back, sometimes they're playing like a slot. But talk to us a little bit about your receiving core and who else you have that really makes a difference on Friday nights.
Well, really, Tyler, he's more of our veteran player in that area. But we also have Caden Glenn. He has some years of experience. Zion Newell, he's also one that he got some playing time this year, but we expected more of him this year. JT Wilkinson, he plays some receiver. He's more of a tight end, him and Damari Whetstone, but they also play some receiver. So, you know, we have a good receiving core. Deshaun, he does a good job of spreading the ball around, reading his coverages and stuff. What I emphasize on at practice is, you know, run the routes expecting the ball to come to you. So that way, you know, you're making the defense play honest and you're giving the quarterback, allow him to do his job in reading the coverages and things of that nature.
Well, Tyler, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, of course, Soap was up here receiving the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week last week. You were actually in here kind of doing what he's doing today, picking at him a little bit. But
yeah.
But honestly, Soap's done a great job moving in at quarterback. He runs a lot of RPO stuff, so you got to be doing what you're supposed to be doing all the time. And but how is it? How much of a joy has it been? Soap was one of you guys at receiver last year.
He's
a guy that was in that group last year. Now he's over there. Do you think that definitely helps him to understand what you guys are going through and know exactly what you're doing to be able to hit you right on time?
It does. I mean, I enjoy it.
You enjoy it because you're comfortable.
Yeah,
you can see the comfort that you, and that's a relationship that you have to build.
Yeah, they got.
But
chemistry.
I think it's the chemistry is kind of already there a little bit,
mm-hmm.
even before. And of course, you know, Deshaun's doing a great job of throwing the football and spreading the football around and giving the receivers an opportunity to make. I mean, without a quarterback throwing it to you, you wouldn't have 160 yards. I know you said that.
And you know, Tyler.
Blocking like they have.
Yeah, the O-line, we went over their stats earlier. I mean, we had another guy blocking in the 80s. We had four of the five blocking in the 70s. That's a really solid night. So, absolutely, give credit where credit's due.
Tyler, Coach Few here, he was a great receiver in his own right back in his days.
But the thing about that, when he was a great receiver, how many times do you think they averaged throwing it, Coach Few? Yeah.
We didn't throw a whole lot.
Maybe six, eight times in a game.
A lot of times we didn't throw when we needed to.
That'd be throwing it around. So this offense you're playing in that Coach Chase Horn and the coaching staff got gives you guys a lot more opportunity than what your coach got to do.
Yes, sir.
Well, Coach, we're going to get prepared here to cut out, and we're going to let you guys cut out. Well, first of all, we thank you for taking the time to be here with us. We thank you for what you do for our program. We know that you work a regular job and do a lot of things, and it takes a lot of your time. And we appreciate your commitment to the youth of Clay County and the difference you've made and you continue to make. We really
yes, sir. I enjoy doing it.
And we appreciate the influence you have on the young men, too, because I see Tyler almost every week in church.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
good.
So you're having a positive influence.
Yes,
almost.
Sir.
Every time. Almost. You got anything you'd like to share before we get out of here?
Well, I do want to add someone. I left out one of my receivers, and I got high expectation for him in the future for this season. That's Calvin Simmons. He haven't played much, you know, in his the past years, but we expect big things coming from him in the near future.
And we've seen him on the field early and often, so he's getting his opportunities. It's good to see Calvin out there.
Yes, sir.
Well, Tyler, you kind of gave a little bit of credit, but I want to give you a chance to, hey, anybody out there you want to thank or you want to say anything to, this is your time, bud.
I just want to give it all to God for giving me the ability to come out and play to the best I could and just giving it all back to him, because Friday night we were playing for something more, so I just wanted to play for him and just give it all back to him.
Absolutely. Well, this time we're going to give your award. It goes to Tyler Boyd, the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Game, Clay Central against Benjamin Russell High School, August the 30th, 2024, and this is presented by Bridges and Bows. Congratulations, Tyler. Proud of you, buddy. We're going to cut to a break and come back and continue on here on Football Fiesta.
Your Backdoor Feed Store in Ashland is helping little farmhands survive with all kinds of new boots for the new school year. And for mom and dad, they have feed for farm animals and farming supplies. Your Backdoor Feed Store, right off Ashland Square by Piggly Wiggly. Open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and 8 to 12 on Saturdays. Your Backdoor Feed Store.
The Clay Central Sports Network relies on sponsors like Farmhouse and Company. Nestled in the heart of Lionville, Farmhouse features an extensive menu that satisfies even the pickiest eater. Appetizers include new options, crazy corn riblets, fried cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. The full menu is available on the website at farmhousefeedsyou.com. The phone number is 256-396-3050. Farmhouse and Company is open Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. DoorDash is available.
Sassy's Convenience Store in Lionville is a proud supporter of Classic Country 90.9. Convenience is the name of their game, whether you're in need of gas, fishing gear, or just a hot meal. Sassy's has live bait and options to replenish your tackle box. Sassy's has non-ethanol gas, as well as off-road diesel. Open Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., and Saturday, 7 until 7. Sassy's also has breakfast to start your day, plus pizza, wings, and even grilled chicken salads. Sassy's Convenience Store, downtown Lionville. Excited to be a part of Classic Country 90.9.
Piggly Wiggly in Ashland and Lionville proudly support the Radio Alabama Foundation and the Clay Central Sports Network. From farm fresh fruits and vegetables to frozen meals and dairy products, Piggly Wiggly is ready to serve you. They also have many local high school students who learn the value of teamwork and customer service as valuable employees. Located in the heart of Ashland and Lionville, Piggly Wiggly, down home, down the street.
Let's face it, selling a poultry farm is a lot different than selling a home or land. Poultry South understands the unique needs of a poultry farmer. Things like biosecurity, cash flows, poultry house construction, poultry equipment, and government regulations all play a major role in buying and selling poultry farms. The Poultry South team at Southeastern Land Group has years of experience handling all the do's and don'ts in the industry. Since 2012, Poultry South has been the go-to source for the state of Alabama, Georgia, and across the Southeast. The website is PoultrySouth.com, proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network.
We welcome you back here. Let me get some things adjusted here. I had to jack. We got Coach Herring back in here now, so I got to make some adjustments. So
I'm here.
There you go. We'll get you.
I'm here, Coach.
Had to turn up the mics a little hot. Your and Heath's conversation was really good. I could hear it good a while ago.
Could you? Yeah.
Over the radio. I had to turn the mics up so hot so they were talking low.
I got you. Yeah, I couldn't hear everything you said.
We talked but we could hear you talk.
Well, I hated to be eating his chips, but he told me he didn't mind, so I just kept munching. I kept munching and crunching.
You know, I'll pick it. But, no, I think we talked loud enough at y'all were having a very good conversation anyway. Y'all didn't mind the people hearing.
No, I didn't mind. I didn't mind a bit.
But, Coach, you gave up your headset. Now I want to give you an opportunity. You watch Tyler. You've watched him for a long time, too.
Yeah.
You're up on top of the booth checking things out. But what did you think of Tyler's performance last week?
Oh, I mean, it was a great individual performance, you know, inside that team performance last week. I mean, the yardage, some big plays, you know, that yardage, some big plays in there that came at crucial times. Defensively, made some plays on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I mean, it was as good a well-rounded game from both, you know, all three phases and different things as you could ask for, you know, and it's not a surprise. I mean, we've watched him develop and play over the years, and for him to turn in that kind of performance is, you know, we love to see it, but we're not surprised about it because
not at all.
We've seen flashes of that over the years, and he put everything together really well last Friday night.
One thing before I go too far, we're here at Monte Alba number two. They let us set up here each Thursday night for Football Fiesta. But we've got to brag on the crowd.
Oh, it's a good looking crowd.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is almost
a full house.
Full house, and it's a rather large facility here. And the majority of them are players and players' families and cheerleaders and folks that support the program. That's one thing about Clay County. Everybody almost supports the program, and
absolutely,
and you have a lot of people,
yep,
a lot of the big supporters in here, and it's just really good to see. It makes it that much more fun to do. And when you hear, I know the people listening, wherever you're at home or on the road, you're able to hear that group cheering for Tyler as he received the award, and that definitely adds to it. So just didn't want to go without mentioning that, and we appreciate everybody that's here. We appreciate everybody that's listening to us online. We appreciate everybody that's listening to us in their radio or on the road or wherever you might be. We really do thank you.
You got the app that's out there.
If you're listening, you're supporting.
Absolutely.
And, so we do appreciate you. But let's move. We're moving into region play tomorrow night.
Yep, everybody. The whole state.
The whole state moving into region play. And it seems so quick, but with regions, there's so many region games, you do have to get started to have a break in the middle and finish where you need to. So everybody's starting tomorrow night. And we start with Valley. Valley is a team that made the playoffs last year, had seven wins on the year. They're returning their coach as well. You guys talked to Coach Adam Hunter this morning. He's in his fifth season. He's 20-21 there at Valley. 1-1 on this year. Got a big win last week over a 7A team there. And anytime, you know, whether they're at the top of the 7A level or not right now, or at the top of the teams, 7A is a different animal.
Oh,
with
totally
the
different. Sure it is.
That they do. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's only – what, how many teams are in 7A?
There's only in 7A is only 34 teams.
So they're one of the top 34 largest schools.
Right.
And so that was a big win there for Valley. But let's just look at Valley. First, I'm going to give it over to Coach. I know we've all watched them on film, but I'm going to let Coach Wings tell us his input and what he sees out of Valley.
Well, Coach, when I turned on the film earlier this week, the first thing that caught my attention was the quarterback.
Young man
named Galvin Goss. This is his first year as a quarterback. You know, they had an outstanding guy the last two, 3 years by the name of Cameron Dooley that was a quarterback. He was about 6'4 and very athletic. But Goss is the quarterback now. And, you know, last year Dooley, if he got trapped back there, if you put pressure on him, he wasn't going to run a whole lot, but this guy will run, and he has that escapability. He can make plays with his feet. And so, you know, we're going to have to be careful pressuring from the outside because he'll get out of there and make a big play running the football. And they do a lot of RPO stuff with him sprinting out, you know, with an option to run or pass. And you know, they have other good athletes. Their running back, Antron Lloyd, is a good runner. He weighs 190, and they have a big offensive line up there as well. And, you know, they're young. They start three sophomores on their offensive line. But the key to their team is going to be Galvin Goss, the quarterback.
For sure. When you look at their offense, we'll continue to look at their offense a little bit more. There's no juniors. That's one of the things that jumped out at me. No juniors, seven seniors, which most all their skills are seniors, except one wide receiver. So they got three starting wide receivers that are seniors, the running back and the quarterback. But something to take note is no juniors and those three sophomores. But when you look at those three sophomores, there's some size up there. Left tackle's at 260. He's a senior. Left guard's 300, 6 foot 300. The center is 5'10", 190, and he's a sophomore. Right guard, 6'10". Is 250 and a senior, and the right tackle 6'2", 315. So just strange that they don't have many, when you look at their roster, not many juniors, just one of those lower classes. But The offense, Coach Herring, as we talk about offense, what stands out to you about the offense when you watch
it? Well, you know, you look, Coach Williams did a great job talking about the quarterback. You know, he's the trigger man like he is for a lot of teams nowadays. He's the guy. I mean, he's a threat to run. He's a threat to throw the ball. There's designed run plays for him. Some of his best runs are if you do get some pressure on him and make him get out of the pocket and get on the run, you know, that's some of the biggest running plays he has once he breaks loose, you know, when you lose containment on him, that type thing. It's the, you know, it's kind of the standard spread type thing. You're going to see counters and traps and book sweeps and regular sweeps and that type thing, you know, out of their offense. And their passing game is mostly the quicker kind of passes, you know, not really deep, the short to medium type passes, but they're going to take a few shots during the game. And it's just, you know, very athletic people in the skill positions, offensive linemen that are you know, athletic enough, and they do a good job on the front. You know, again, we're pretty well, you know, we're pretty well outsized, you know, there with their offense, and for the most part across there. And you know, it's just, you know, defensively we've got to do what we do on the front, move around and do hit our gaps on our blitzes and run stunts and you know, do play with great effort, because it's an offense that, you know, they've got the ability to score, you know, about every time they snap the ball.
Well, that quarterback, before we cut loose from the offense, Gavin Goss' ability to run, he can throw the football. I'm not saying that, but his ability to run is scary. He can really run.
Yeah,
like,
he gives him a new dimension, no doubt about it.
He is totally different. He throws it, but he really runs it really, really well, and especially when it's a called run. When he knows out of the gate he's running, his speed is something different.
And I'll tell you another thing, you know, defensively, our secondary is going to have to tackle good, because most of their passing game is like curls and hitches coming back. They're short passes.
Back toward the quarterback.
So, you know, we got to keep them in front of us, and when they catch it, we got to put them on the ground right then.
Well, we'll move over to the Valley Rams defensive side. They've got six seniors on defense, a couple of juniors, and the rest sophomores. But the thing that stands out to me about the Valley Rams defense is it's kind of hard. Like, I always look at it as an offensive lineman, watching the defensive front and linebackers and what they're doing. And I struggle to find them doing the same thing two plays in a row a little bit. Some of the times I really don't understand what they're doing, but because you don't understand what they're doing, it's confusing in your blocking schemes. So that's the thing that stood out to me against the – and Coach Herring might could speak to that a little bit more. They're just doing a lot of things and moving around a lot to me, and it's just really – it's a little bit inconsistent for you to block. I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing. I'm sure they do, but it's just – it don't look – you don't get the same looks very often.
No, you're not going to get that front. You know, it kind of bases out of a 3-4 look, but they give you what's called a lot of eagles, where you got the guys – coming down in the working toward the A gaps, you know, some bear movement, you know, a lot of pre-snap movement across the defensive line of scrimmage with Valley, and then at the snap, the movements they do on the snap is you know, they're not going to be in one place and just let you get on them and block them. They're moving around, for, you know, from pre-snap all the way through the snap, and it presents some challenges, you know, to our offensive line.
And what they're going to do, you know, they'll be in the 3-4, as Coach said, but they're going to do a lot of X stunts. They do a lot of things that you used to see out of a 5-3 defense.
Yeah, and it's going to, yeah, you're going to have, like, you know, some nose stunts. That's a big one for them, sending their nose one way, bringing a linebacker back behind him, that type thing. And, yeah, they're not going to get caught. You know, they're not going to get caught just sitting there playing you straight up. They're going to be on the move, and that makes you have to move, you know, off with your offensive linemen, because they're going to be moving, and you've got to be able to step correctly and move and get with them and do some zone techniques and, you know, kind of block what shows as you begin your movement from the offensive line.
One thing I noticed, I think the back end of their defense, much like ours, seems to be the strong point. But if you look at those positions, three of them, two of them are wide receivers, and one is their starting quarterback playing in the secondary.
Right.
So that's something to keep note. Gavin Goss, that quarterback, starts at safety and plays a lot, makes a lot of plays. And also Zay Woody and D. Dunn kind of their best athletes are playing both ways, which we do very much the same,
same thing. Yeah, I don't blame
but it don't yet. Seem like many people we play do that.
Right.
That's something to keep note on. Coach Weems, anything else that stood out to you about their defense?
Well, not just their defense, but when you look at their 22 starters on both sides of the ball, there's 15 seniors involved. So that means that they are an older football team. They're more veteran experienced, and I think that will be a factor as well.
If one player, just looking at him, that I want to mention before, when you see him tomorrow night, you're going to know him without – and that's Jalen Roberts, the 6'5", 290-pound nose guard.
Oh, yeah.
He is long. He has the build for a physical defensive lineman.
He sure does.
And I'm not saying he's quite to perfection yet. I remember him from last year.
Mm-hmm.
But just watching him, he does things different than most anybody you play. His arms look like they're 5 foot long when he's playing.
Yeah, he looks
when
the
he's
part.
Playing the game. Well, he's slinging people around.
It's going to be hard to get in there to his body. You got to stay
like
low
that.
And work
so
for them heels.
He'll be a challenge to our center as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break, and we'll get ready for our last segment where we'll look at our opponents, how they fared last week, who they face this week, and also the 5A top 10. So you'll want to stick around right here on Football Fiesta.
Being first sounds good, doesn't it? Hi, I'm Chad Jones, President and CEO for First Bank of Alabama. For over 176 years, we've been proudly serving our communities with trust, integrity, and personalized banking, putting the important things first, whether it's helping families buy their first home or supporting local businesses. Our mission is to be your financial partner through every stage of life. We're here for you today and tomorrow. First Bank of Alabama, where you are first. Online at fbal.bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Radio Alabama Foundation is sponsored by loyal listeners and by First Capital Insurance in Lineville. Are you looking for peace of mind? At First Capital Insurance, we've got you covered. From your home to your car to your business to life insurance, we offer tailored coverage that fits your needs and budget. Our expert team is here to guide you through every step, ensuring that you get the protection that you deserve. First Capital Insurance, located at 575 College Street in Lineville. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. With First Capital Insurance, you're not just a policy number, you're family.
Frank's Point of View is an RV campground in Ashland, Alabama, situated with views of the Talladega National Forest. The campground features camping and RV sites with access to hiking trails, nature walks, and grassy areas. Frank's Point of View is known for its scenic nighttime vistas. More details about Frank's Point of View campground amenities and features are available online at frankspointofview.com or 256-378-1201.
Harris Plumbing and Electric is Ashland's DIY store. They have all your gardening products, along with everything to take care of the inside and outside of your home. Heck, they even have ice cream makers and knives. If you need it, they have it or will get it for you. Think local. Harris Plumbing and Electric on 2nd Street Northwest in Ashland, across from the Ashland City Library.
Ashland Auto Parts, the locally owned and operated Napa Auto Parts store, knows how important it is to keep vehicles running smoothly. High quality parts, tools, and accessories, all backed by Napa reliability. Whether a pro or do-it-yourselfer, Jim, Jack, Ralph, Logan, or Sharon at Ashland Auto Parts can help. Located in the heart of Ashland and open Monday through Saturday, Ashland Auto Parts.
Don's Pawn and Jewelry in Ashland is a trusted local pawn shop with years of experience serving Clay County residents and beyond. The shop has items including jewelry, electronics, tools, guns, and more. With a reputation for reliability, Don's Pawn and Jewelry has a secure and friendly environment. Conveniently located on Court Square in Ashland, the shop is a well-known spot in the community for quality goods and trusted service. 256-354-2727. 256-354-2727.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta, live from Monte Albán number 2. If you're just now joining us, we're going in our fourth and last segment. We've talked about the Volunteers' big victory last week, 35-28 over the Benjamin Russell Wildcats. And then we talked to our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, brought to you by Britches and Bows, and that which is Tyler Boyd. We awarded him. We also had position coach Franklin Few with us. It was good to have Coach Few, his first time.
Yeah, he made his Fiesta appearance.
Fiesta appearance. In my mind, we had talked to him at some point. it felt like. But he said we had not, and I know he told us the truth.
Well, so, he just seemed like such a pro at it.
And then we just kind of recap our plan for tomorrow night. One thing I do want to mention about tomorrow night, and I know that's a big question for everybody, make your plans to come out to the game. Now, I'm not a professional weatherman by any means, but I do give the Blair's Family Farm and Market weather report each Friday night, and I plan ahead. So I actually watched it and looked at it, and it looks like there's a very good chance that the weather is going to exit just prior to kickoff.
Okay.
And it looks like it's just going to be some light on and off rain tomorrow. We need rain. We just don't need it during the game.
That's so right.
I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to make the field. You know, we hadn't really had any rain at all this week.
No.
So, hadn't had, I don't guess, any at the field, I don't think, since last Friday night.
Right.
So, the field's in great shape. And without a lot of rain, it don't look like we're going to get a lot of rain. It looks like the rain's going to play out around 6 o'clock or so, mm-hmm. if we have any. And so, hopefully, that's the case. But we'll be bringing you the Blair's Family Farm and Market weather report tomorrow, but I want to kind of give you that one right here because it's in. We had a few games that moved to tonight around the state because of the weather, but I think they're keeping it more in the southwest part of the state. Looks like that's where the most rain's going to be, and I think we're going to have a good night for football tomorrow.
I think so. It's going to be a good night, and you know we got a couple of those games tonight, Rusty, that are part of our Radio Alabama family of networks on the Fayetteville Sports Network and the Childersburg Tiger Sports Network.
Okay, I didn't realize Childersburg
both
was playing.
Games
I knew Fayetteville,
to tonight.
Fayetteville
yeah.
is
sure.
Wadley.
That's right.
Wadley's headed down
That's
to
right.
Fayetteville
sure.
tonight.
Yep.
So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna take in some of that game
on
the radio.
I'm going to get on my app here.
I wanted to go watch him because, I mean, Wadley's the number one team.
They
moved
are.
Up to number one this week.
Sure are.
But I was unable. It could have, but with this, we would get there late and it's going to Fayetteville and other
right.
you know, below Sylacauga. So. I'm going to choose to listen to our good friends
we
down there on the radio, part of the Radio Alabama family. But, Coach, you usually handle the part of going to our schedule and how they fared last week and who they play tomorrow night. Let's move to that right quick.
All right, well, let's take a look back. The Hanley Tigers last week after dropping to the Vols, week one, they bounced back last week at Dadeville with a 44-21 win over the Dadeville Tigers. This week they're headed to Heflin to take they'll be hosting Cleburne County tomorrow night at Wright Field there in Roanoke. You got Ben Russell that's sitting at 0-2 now on the year. They'll be dropping their last week to Clay Central 35-28. They'll be at home down at the Sportsplex against the Calera Eagles tomorrow night. The Valley Rams, hey, they're at 1-1. Of course, they winning last week at Smith Station 39-9. They're coming into Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night to take on our Central Volunteers. Marbury, the Bulldogs, they're at 0-2 on the year. They failed to Bayside Academy last week, 32-14. They will be at Beauregard as those two teams get started in region play. Sylacauga, the Aggies, the other side of Bull Gap Mountain.
2-0.
2-0 on the year. They defeated last week the Montevallo Bulldogs, 15-7.
Montevallo's 5A now, right?
They are. Montevallo's move up to 5A. So Montevallo falling to the Sylacauga Aggies this week. Sylacauga down at Hopeville to take on that bunch of Bulldogs down in Hopeville in region action. Scottsboro sitting at 2-0, and they were at North Jackson last week. They won 14-6. This week, they host in their first region game. They took on the Boaz Pirates at Scottsboro tomorrow night. Elmore County, interesting situation here. They played the Tallahassee Tigers last week. That game called in the third quarter, some safety issues, some safety threats, and playing against Tallahassee, and that game called and finally just canceled and will not be made up. And that game
will that be considered a tie or just a no contest?
What I understand is what, and I may be wrong, but I have been the understanding I have is it was just the decision was made over the safety issue. It wasn't a region game. It was just a no contest.
Okay,
is how that's
because I've
go
seen
down.
Some people count
yeah.
it as a tie,
right?
Because they were tied.
They were
at the
tied
time.
At the time it was called. It was postponed and eventually canceled. But those Elmore County Panthers, hey, they actually have draw here week one. Of region play, they have the region open week tomorrow night of the seven teams in our region, so they'll be on the road to Carroll tomorrow night.
You know, that game, just saying, one reason I ask, that game could come into play in a tiebreaker
situation. Yes, it could. It could come into play somewhere down the line.
It could possibly.
Yep. The Hopeville Bulldogs, they're at 0-2 on the year. They fell last week to Shelby County, 31-14. They'll be hosting Sylacauga, we've already mentioned. The Beauregard Hornets, they were at Anniston last week. Picking up a win up there in Anniston, 8-6 over the Anniston Bulldogs, and they'll be hosting Marbury, as we've mentioned. And the Pell City Panthers, they fall to 1-1, dropping one last week, losing to Coosa Christian, 17-7. They jump in their 6A region play as they host Clay Chalkville tomorrow night in Pell City at Pete Rich Stadium there on the campus of Pell City High School.
Coach Williams, you've got the new 5A top 10. There's been some changes with the way games went. Share that with us.
Well, there's been a little shuffling going around. Two teams dropped completely out, Briarwood and Eufaula. But we'll look at the top 10, and we'll look at who each one of them play tomorrow night quickly. Number one, hanging on at number one, is Gunnersville. They'll be playing Brewer High School. Catholic of Montgomery is number two, and they'll be playing Eufaula. Of course, the Volunteers, they're number three this week, and we'll be playing Valley. Number four in 5A, the Leeds Green Wave. And Leeds will be playing, not sure who Leeds plays tomorrow night. Number five.
Oh, he failed on his sheet, cuz.
Fairview. Well, I've got it. I just can't put my finger on it quick.
My bad.
Fairview, number five. They'll be playing West Point High School. One of our opponents coming up before long, number six, is Scottsboro. Scottsboro tomorrow night is playing, by the way, Leeds is playing Springville tomorrow night.
Scottsboro is playing Boaz.
Scottsboro plays Boaz tomorrow night. Number seven in 5A is Vigor from down in Mobile. They'll be playing another Mobile team, LaFleur High School, tomorrow night. Number eight is Moody. They'll be playing a region game versus Jacksonville. Number nine.
That'll be a good one.
And this team, number nine, Ramsey, 0-2, but they're still in the top 10. And they'll be playing Briarwood tomorrow night, which is another 0-10 team. And both of those teams, Briarwood was ranked in the top 10 as well until they went out this week. And then number 10 in Class 5A is Headland, and they'll be playing Andalusia tomorrow night. So that's a look at the top 10 in 5A and who they play. And then Coach Heron mentioned two of those games tonight that's in our coverage in the Alabama Classic
Radio
Country
Alabama.
90.9 radio coverage. Wadley plays at Fayetteville, and Childersburg and Lee Scott play. And then tomorrow night, B.B. Comer plays Glenwood, and Auburn High School plays one of the classic rivalries in the state. They'll be playing Opelika tomorrow night. So that's kind of a look at the top 10, who they're playing, and then the teams in Radio Alabama coverage area.
I tell you what, we got to look at Glenwood playing Valley, and Glenwood's an impressive team to be coming down there. And so they're a 3A team, Glenwood?
I think so.
So they're playing B.B. Comer.
They're playing,
right?
B.B. Comer. So B.B. Comer's kind of struggling right now, though.
Well, and you know, Glenwood, Wadley, Glenwood's not.
Yeah, Glenwood's not struggling. So that's not a good chemistry makeup there for Comer.
Well, Coach Williams, as we get ready to get out of here right here at the top of the hour, what do you got as we get ready to close?
Well, you know, again, we're the Valley Rams come in tomorrow night. We talk with Coach Hunter this morning on our show, and he's concerned about some of the things he's seen on film from the Volunteers, and then of course I'm sure Coach Horn and his staff maybe have some concerns about some of the things Valley do. So it's going to be a situation where somebody's got to take control early and seize the momentum in this football game. And hopefully the weather will stay away. You've kind of assured us of that.
Now assurance might be a little bit stretched.
But he is an amateur meteorologist.
Yeah. But
I'm just making sure you don't get too far here and give us the Frank's point of view keys to the game tomorrow. Just
hold back
just a little bit.
We'll have those ready for tomorrow night, and some keys to that game tomorrow night, of course, on our pregame show. But we need another big crowd out there at Volunteer Stadium tomorrow night. And the weather, as we say, it's not going to be cold yet, so we should have a full house again.
Coach Heron, well, you guys, we get ready to close Football Fiesta, another installment.
Well, you know, it's the we got two. We're two games in. Now they start counting for something real. You know, it's region games. They start here. You know, you want to win. We've got two wins. We're happy about that. But now region games. Now you're trying to win every week, and you want to be 1-0 by 10 o'clock, 10:30 tomorrow night to be one of those teams still sitting at that 1-0 mark after round one of region play. At to you know, you're just playing for that playoff positioning in your region. And we do things that like we're capable of doing, like we know that we can do. You know, you have to like our chances. Valley's going to present their own set of challenges, but we need to, if we take care of our business and do what we do, then we've got a good chance to be successful.
At this time, we're going to pay, before we cut loose, I'm going to pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union Clay Central Sports Network.
We welcome you back here as we get ready to close. Just a couple of reminders that I want to give to you before we get out of here. Remember, each Thursday right here, Football Fiesta live from Money Album number 2. We're on the air from 6 to 7 each Thursday, or maybe it's 6 to 7.03, you know, if we want to be really truthful about it like today. But tomorrow night's game, you can tune in to the Coosa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine at Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show. That'll air at 6:30, and then continue on. We'll move in to the Don's Pawn and Jewelry. Don's Pawn and Jewelry. First quarter at 7 o'clock, so you want to go stick around for all of that. Then on Saturday morning, we've got a special treat for you. We'll be doing our volunteer voices as normal. Myself and Tommy Wood will be doing that, but we're going to have some assistants come in. Coach Herron, Coach Weems, we're actually going to be covering the I should have written it down. I'll have it tomorrow night, but the cross-country meet.
Yes.
At the school on Saturday morning. We'll be airing that at 7:30. We'll be live on site, so we'll be doing our normal volunteer voices.
The Volunteer Spirit
Classic. The Volunteer Spirit Classic will be live right here on Classic Country.
So you're bringing in the cross-country experts for this one.
Absolutely. We've got to bring in the experts. So we'll be bringing
big,
that
coach,
to you.
Big.
All around, we'll also be
absolutely
working through our normal Volunteer Voices show. So that'll be on there from 7:30 till 10 on Saturday.
Saturday morning, that's
so
right.
So that's the plan, so we can bring you all of that action. Where it's normal 8 to 10, we will go on at 7:30 to get the start of the girls' races. It starts right at 8 o'clock. So we want to be part and give you a little pre-race information there. So if you got a chance, come out. Support those athletes that'll be partaking and participating in that event. All right, before I close this, you guys got anything? Dirk, go ahead.
Bring your raincoat.
Why?
And if enough of us to bring them, then it won't rain.
That's very likely. That is very likely,
yeah.
So that is a good approach. You get ready for it don't happen.
That's
usually the way it works.
Exactly.
So. All right. We're gonna get out of here. Tune in tomorrow at 6:30, or most of all, make your plans to be over at Volunteer Stadium by 6:30.
We'll hit it again a little morning at 8 on the stance.
Well, I should. Yeah, absolutely. Y'all got any special things going on in the morning?
We got Coach Skip Holtz joining us.
Okay.
And Hall of Fame Friday, Coach Larry Simmons from Thompson High School.
Oh, that's going in there, huh? Going in there deep, the old stomping ground.
That's right.
Sorry, I should have let you done that before.
And we'll talk a little about the games tonight that are played, and look at maybe a few more of the games played tomorrow night.
So you'll want to tune in. That airs from 8 to 10 weekday morning. You can jump in there. Usually Wednesday's a big focus. I'm not trying to say that because I'm in there on the Friday night game, but that's shared throughout the week.
Yes.
In other sports. So you want to join in there. Well, until next time, God bless and go Vols.
Thanks for listening to Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant. Follow the Volunteers all season long on the official home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network on Classic Country 90.9. the Clay Central Sports Network Facebook page, and the Radio Alabama app.